This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're with the Priest, the Pom, and the Poof on the Spirit Lounge, the show that explores sexuality and spirituality for our community. Welcome to the Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9. My name's Andrew, I'm the Poof, and I'm here with the Priest, Joy, and the panellist, Peter.
Good evening, Andrew and Joy.
And we're missing Bertie the Pom. She's off doing goodness knows what.
She's off on some adventure.
Oh, she always is, isn't she?
She'll be back next
she
week.
She just neglects us and off she swans. Oh, no, I wasn't here last week. I would not say that. Did either of you notice it was Valentine's Day today?
Is that what was happening today? I was wondering why all the flowers were flying about.
There seemed to be everyone walking past with one red rose.
Yes, and lots of snogging going on in Bourke Street.
Oh, how revolting. Not yes. In Bourke Street, surely.
Oh, don't look at me expectantly.
Oh, we just wondered. We thought you might be able to enhance about the snogging happening on Bourke Street.
No, that was Swanson Street. Darling. He went down.
Valentine's Day was amazing. Yes.
Now, we won't embarrass you by asking for any more details, but we want to talk about Valentine's Day and the workplace.
It's a very interesting subject, I think, because at our workplace where we decided that we would implement some new traditions. So one of the things that we did for Valentine's Day was kind of like a Kris Kringle-style Valentine's wishes. And my workplace is only pretty small, so it worked really well.
But you were telling us about a lovely one you got.
Oh, yes.
Yes, I think you should sort of read that out for
yes.
us all.
I got, well, when I came into work this morning, I had a little, like, little love heart on my desk and some little love heart-shaped chocolates, and I thought they were amazing and delicious. Thank you, whoever gave those to me. And then during the day when we did our Kris Kringle-style, like, I guess more like affirmation things, so we everybody got someone's name and had to write something affirming or something that was very good about that person. And my one says, well, my one came in its own little envelope and you take it out and it had like, it was in the shape of a love heart, which was awesome. Such attention to detail, whoever gave it to me. And it says, Andrew, you have the gift to make all those around you smile. Happy Valentine's Day, which I thought was really sweet.
It's lovely.
It's lovely. I think you should post that on your Facebook, that photo.
I think I may have already done that.
How unusual.
How unusual.
So, Peter, did they do anything in your workplace?
Well, our workplace, we put on a morning tea because we have one staff member who's actually about to get married in 3 months' time. And she gets given every year the largest bunch of red roses you can ever imagine. And the rest of us then feel very inadequate.
So the rest of you get nothing.
We get nothing. I can't say I got absolutely nothing, but we felt that we should have a morning tea so that we can all celebrate together as co-workers, and because we all do like to affirm one another. This wasn't like a sexual type love. This was a co-worker type love.
But yeah, so there's lots of different types of love, and a lot of them are like a lot of the words from, is it the Greek
like, yeah. You've got Philadelphia love, which is the brotherly love, and you got eros, which is the erotic love, and you got love for a parent for a agape, which is a friendship,
another sort of love, so,
and you got the parent child love relationship. So you can have all those different types of relationship, but we live in the 21st century where a lot of us where our main source of engagement is at, through our work colleagues. And so we thought that we need to celebrate that, how we help each other and we affirm one another and we love each other and try and encourage one another without being in a sexual way.
So what we would like you to do is actually to come up with a name for workplace love. And you can SMS us on 0427 Joy 949 or you can telephone on
1300 Joy 949.
Or you can email on air at joy.org.au. So let us know, what words can you come up with for workplace Valentine's Day love?
And of course, we've got a few other things coming up in tonight's show. We're going to be talking about Habitat for Humanity. We caught up with Brian Finch. There's also a new iPhone app that we're going to be doing a little bit of research on. So stick around for that.
Hi, this is Katie Underwood, and I tune into Joy 94.9 because I think it's beautiful, beautiful, yeah. It's so beautiful, beautiful.
You're listening to The Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9, and we're here on the couch with Brian Finch from Habitat for Humanity. Brian, can you tell us a little bit about Habitat for Humanity and the work that they do?
Okay, so Habitat for Humanity International is started in America, and that was started in Georgia, USA, in 1976 by Linda and Millard Fuller. And they saw a vision of being able to help people with money that they had. And they started a process of helping families get into their homes. But it was a what they've called a hand up, not a hand out. So the families basically, once they've been selected, work with Habitat to build their own home. And that it means that the family actually put in 500 hours of sweat equity as their deposit into the home. So they don't have to have a lot of money. They just have to be able to provide their time and energy to help build the home. And then after that home is completed, Habitat gives that family a mortgage. And that mortgage is an interest-free mortgage. And the repayments are never more than 25% of whatever the family income is. Now, that's family, they may be on a pension, and the repayments are never more than 25%. But because there's a no interest on the loan, the actual loan is usually paid off in something like 20 years. So that's the basic model, and since that rollout day, Linda and Millard Fuller, they took it to different countries to sort of see whether it worked, the model worked around in different global situations in America. And it did, and today Habitat operates in just over 90 countries around the world, and so far we've built, since the start, over 400,000 homes for families.
That's quite an achievement. And have many of these homes been within Australian communities, or is it mainly overseas?
It's obviously considerably cheaper to build homes in some of the third world countries than it is in a country like Australia, obviously with the price of housing today. But we've built about 100 homes in Australia to date. We're currently building 5 here in Victoria. And we have a major project coming up, which has now just got the green light, to where we're going to be building 25 homes for bushfire-affected families in Yay, which is a community up the Melbourne Highway.
Okay, so the projects that you run with bushfire-affected families, is this the same as the Brush with Kindness project?
Well, if we go back, because it's obviously 2 years to the day that this tragedy first happened, and Habitat looked at how we could help. Now, we're not a relief agency, so we knew that early on it would be the Salvation Army, the Red Cross, and organisations like that that would come in and help the families and give them the much-needed care and attention. But after sort of that initial period, we looked at what we could do. One of the first things we did was put in 5 tool libraries through a contact that we had, Stuart Budge. He came to us to say one of his friends had lost his shed and didn't have any tools and couldn't help in the sort of recovery process. So he thought that maybe if we could put some tools into a tool library like a normal library, that families will be able to borrow the tools, do some work, and then return it for further use. And that's what we did. We worked with Stuart, and we put in 5 20-foot shipping containers, each with about $25,000 worth of tools, and they went into Marysville, Kinglake, Strathewen, Flowerdale, and Traralgon. And they're still being operated in the communities now by the local Lions Club, and they've been going for, you know, about just over, well, sort of a year, 18 months now, since the first one went in, and that's been well accepted by the community and used quite extensively by the community. So that was the initial response to help. Secondly, we looked at this brush with kindness as a sort of a medium-term fix, and we've been able to do these projects. And basically what we had was an army of volunteers, and we had tradespeople with skills who are able to donate their time. And so with Brush with Kindness, we go into families that are needing help and are able to provide the labour and the expertise to do certain jobs. And the families, through some of the sort of the monies coming back from the fires, provide the materials, but we provide the labour and the expertise to get alongside and help them with their jobs. And this has been jobs like fencing, and we've done clearing blocks, we've cut down trees, and we've cut trees into logs and done log splitting, and then we've done painting, you know, a whole range of different jobs just to help the families in their recovery process. And then longer term, it's the A project, that we're building 25 homes for families that either don't want to go back into the hills or can't afford to go back into the hills because of insurance issues. And so we'll be using the habitat model for up to 25 families at Yay to be able to help them get back into their own home and living in a community again, as you know, a country community as in Yay.
Fantastic. And I was doing a little bit of reading on your website about the aims of the project. So it was kind of talking about families being able to be stable for their children, encouraging a sense of dignity and pride in their home, and
Right.
increasing job prospects and education prospects for the communities where you're doing this work. Can you kind of reflect on that for the
Sure.
Australian context?
Yeah, so if you look at the main core business of Habitat, which is home building, we've seen that. We see families that are coming from really broken, difficult backgrounds. Those families are, you know, been living in cars, and the kids have been farmed out to 3 or 4 different locations, and they have to move, you know, on almost a monthly basis. So these people are coming with a fairly sort of low esteem, the kids especially, and the parents or single parents have certainly had a very difficult run. And so when they get involved with Habitat, they certainly see a group of people surrounding them, volunteers who just wanting to help, come alongside and help them. So they start to sort of, you see sort of their heads lifting straight away, because they see there's people genuinely trying to help them. And then as it goes through the build program, and that can take sometimes, you know, 12 months to 18 months before they're in their home, you see that they've built their home, they've understand, they pick up some trade skills, and we've had several occasions where the parents of we call them partner families, where the partner families have been through this process, have built their self-esteem. The children who didn't have any thought or dream of going on to higher education suddenly now think that they can, and they get into TAFE colleges, and they go into universities, etc. So we really do see a difference in the families, and it's just because really that Habitat gives them the opportunity to get into their own home, and we surround them with the volunteers, and they see the support of people that doing it because they want to, and some of them haven't experienced that before for a long, long time.
Fantastic. And with the funding structure for Habitat, do you rely on donations, or is it supported by the government, or...?
We don't get any sort of government support here in Victoria. We would like it very much, but we certainly have good corporate citizens who help sponsor, so we'll have some corporates who will sponsor a home for us, and they will put a sum of money into the building project. We have very good corporates who sponsor us with gifts in kind. So we have people who donate goods to go into the homes for us. We have people who donate tools for our volunteers and for the tradespeople to help build. So all of that keeps the cost of the home down for us. But we give the family a mortgage at 95% of what is the market value of the home at the time. And it may not cost us that figure to build, but with the money that comes back on a monthly basis from the mortgages goes back into revolving fund to allow us to then purchase more land to build more homes. So it really is a revolving fund that the more we build and the more we get in allows us to build more homes and help more families.
Fantastic. And if I want to volunteer and get involved, how do I do that?
Well, Andrew, the best way of doing it is to get onto either our website, log in there, or you can send an email to our Victorian office, which is vic.info@habitat.org.au.
Great. That sounds amazing.
Hello, this is Katie Lang on Australia's first gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9.
And you're on Spirit Lounge with Joy and Andrew. And that was Jackson Waters with Ready to Find Love. And we're going to now play the second part of the interview with Brian Finch from Habitat for Humanity.
You're listening to the Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9. And joining us on the phone is Brian Finch from Habitat for Humanity. We're talking about A Brush with Kindness, which is a project aimed at supporting and rebuilding the communities affected by the Black Saturday bushfires.
You have participated once yourself on one of these Brush with Kindness days, I believe.
I have, yes. I spent the day pulling weeds and moving logs and clearing up a block. I think the particular project that I worked on, we spent one day there and then discovered, there's a lot more work to do.
Correct.
So I didn't manage to get back for the next working bee, but it certainly was very rewarding, and you could see the difference that it makes in people's lives.
I think the difference is that it's the small things. Most of the families we've seen, especially the ladies, their garden was their pride and joy, and that was wiped out in the fires. And they see it, especially with the rain that we've had recently, that they're so overgrown, the gardens now, and we've been able to get in and help and maintain the garden. And they're able to see a little bit of what it was before the fire, and that just gives them the momentum to just carry on.
Yeah, it was absolutely, reflecting back on the experience, it was nothing like what I expected, and I thought, I'm going to pull a few weeds and someone might be kind of happy about that. But then when I got there was, I think there were 50 people there on that day, and I thought, that's the same as one person going every Saturday for a year to pull weeds.
Yes, that's right. And you think when you're going in there that sort of 20 or 30 people can't make that much of a difference, but it is amazing the difference we can make on a job like that. And it so lifts the families. They're just so appreciated.
Yes, it was really clear that the family was very touched.
So overall, you came out onto that job, which actually was at Tagarty, and we've done work all around the bushfire areas. And the farthest we've now been into is Reedsdale, where there was a big fire at Castlemaine / Kyneton, northeast of Kyneton, and so we've been and taking teams up there. So every month now this year we are going to have one open volunteer day where we'll take teams into wherever we're needed. And the scary thing is we're actually getting more and more people applying as we stand. You think that it's 2 years down the track, families are not wanting a hand, but only this week I've had two more cases come in from case managers where can we go in and help families, because even now they're still struggling in their recovery process.
More people needing the work of Habitat for Humanity.
Correct, yes. I mean, as well as the demand for the partner families for housing is huge, and as the current economic climate unwinds and the high rents, that is just being exacerbated with people wanting to look at Habitat Home as a solution for them. But there's Brush One with all the families that are still needing considerable help there as well. So, yes, we have a big challenge, and it can be very daunting, and in fact, there's some state you have to sort of switch off and say that we can help who we can help and focus on that rather than trying to do everything for everybody, and you just fall apart then. Yeah, thank you for the opportunity to share it with you, and you know, thank you for you coming out as well. And we had a number of people from your church that came out to help us on that day, which was great.
I obviously went with a church group. Do you find that your association with churches is helpful, or do you get lots of volunteers who aren't necessarily involved with a religious organisation?
No, we get volunteers from right across the board, from corporate people, from individuals who just want to help, and they think, you know, the church one came because we put that someone saw what we were doing, and I think then they circulated around the church and got more people involved. But it's anybody, literally, can come along, and they don't have to have skills. We've got people who say they haven't got any skills, but they help with the catering, because as you saw on the day, to feed 50 people,
it's quite a project.
in itself, right? Yeah. So we're always happy to have some people who can come along and just help, just on the logistics side on the day, to help cooking and things like that. So there's always something that can be done. You don't have to have a skill, you don't have to have a trade, you just have an open heart to help people.
Yeah. Is Habitat associated with any religious organisation?
We are a Christian-based organisation, but we're not aligned to, you know, with any denomination at all. Really, our Christian basis came from the Fullers. The model of a non-interest loan is biblically based, and that's where we're hold firm to. But we are, as I said, a Christian-based organisation, but you don't have to be purely a Christian to help with Habitat. In fact, probably a vast majority of our volunteers aren't.
Okay, fantastic.
Since we've been running this, we've had 54 actual work days on these projects, which has represented like 800 volunteer days, and it's over 4,500 hours of volunteer time that's been put into the Brush with Kindness. So we've done something like 30 or so projects finished, but we've got, you know, another 20 on our books to tackle. So any volunteers that are able to come forward and help, then we'd love to hear from them.
And that website again is habitat.org.au.
Correct. And if you want to send an email, it's vic.info@habitat.org.au.
Well, thanks very much for taking the time to have a chat with me, Brian.
Thank you very much, Andrew.
Okay.
Hello, this is Gretel Colleen, and you're tuned into Australia's only gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9.
You're on Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9 with Joy the Priest and with Andrew the Poof. And Andrew, I'm just wondering, have you heard that confession is good for the soul?
I have heard variations on that saying, yes.
What are the other variations? I'm interested to hear.
Yeah, you know, honesty is very good for the soul. As for the whole confessing to somebody, I don't personally do that, but anyway.
No, I mean, we probably do all do it, but not in a formal sense, like,
yes,
in the Catholics.
As regimented.
I mean, they have this whole sacraments, they call it, well, it's sort of changed names. I'm told that now it's called a sacrament of reconciliation, and it contains four elements, and I got all this from the internet and also talking to a lovely Catholic gentleman. And you start with contrition, which is where you have remorse for your wrongdoings or sins. Then you confess to a priest, and then you have absolution by the priest, and then you do penance, which I gather is the Hail Marys and whatever else, that rosary, whatever else you get to do that the priest tells you. But we want to talk tonight not about necessarily the sacrament so much, but about a new iPhone app. It's related to it, isn't it?
It's related to it. It's called Confessions, and it's called Confessions, a Roman Catholic app. It's kind of interesting. I downloaded it for just to try it out.
And I did it for you, and you're in big trouble.
You've filled it.
you're a Hail Marys for the rest of the week, I think, dear.
So apparently I'm in massive trouble. The important thing about this app, because the idea of having a method to confess things is not a new idea. Like, there's been other iPhone apps around before, but
This
particular one has kind of been encouraged a little bit by the Vatican. So we thought it might be kind of interesting to have a quick look at it. So I downloaded it and I punched in my details. It asks, you know, your name and such. And
what else did it ask?
I wanted to know what my vocation was, but it didn't mean vocation as in like what do you do for a job. It meant like, are you married, are you single, are you a priest, or yeah, that sort of thing, which kind of confused me a little bit.
And does it ask for your age?
Yes, and the day that you last went to confession, because it's supposed to help you track. So it's supposed to help you track when you do go to confession, like then you'll know how many days it's been since you last went, and also you'll have like a checklist of sins that you've done that you can confess, apparently. Anyway, so you program in all your stuff and then you do a little survey, which they've named down here examination.
Yes.
Joy filled mine out, so I'm not sure. I'm not sure how accurate it is.
I think I cleared it again.
you may have cleared it. So the questions are things like, have I not been faithful in praying, or have I had sex was one of them, or have I masturbated was another one of the questions. And then there's just like, it's not a yes or no answer that you fill in the survey. It's just a tick box. So I was going through and I was really confused. Like, I was like, I don't know whether these are supposed to be the good things that I'm ticking or the bad things.
No, I think it's the bad things.
The bad things.
Yeah. So. Because when you get to the end, it starts you off on your... I believe that you then take this to the confessional.
Yes, yes.
So okay, you can't sort of email it to the priest and get absolution over the via email. You actually have to take it into the confessionals.
That's correct. And they're pretty clear about that. They do say, you know, this is not... it's not a replacement for going to confession, but it's an interesting way to keep track of what you're going to confess in confession, if that makes sense.
Yes, it certainly does.
Yeah, so I mean there's some really good stuff in there, like that are just kind of prompting you of what to think about. So one of the items is, have I allowed the things of this world to captivate my heart and mind in a negative way? So that might be quite reasonable, but there are some other things that I personally don't agree with.
There's one that I saw that was quite interesting. I thought it was quite reasonable. It's talking about, do you have a good work-life balance?
Hmm.
You know, do you take time out for yourself? I failed that one miserably, I might say.
Work-life balance. See, did you press no or yes? You can only tick a tick box.
So. Yeah, I'm imagining if you tick if you failed that particular thing.
That's the way that I read it as well.
Because if you go to the end, it then says, it starts you off to say whatever you say, and then you say, Father, it's been however many days since sin, and then you go to the next screen, and it comes up with all the things that you need to confess, I think.
Yes, well, the list that comes up has the header, sins. I'm pretty sure that means that they're negative things. And it just seems to be all the things that you ticked during the examination. So you go in and it kind of tells you, it gives you like a little preamble, and then you kind of go through your checklist and you can tick them off. And then you click next and it gives you a prompt so that you can say a prayer of contrition. And then that's the bit where after that, there's a space for the priest to do his magic absolution bit, and then there's a whole bunch of prayers. So there's a resource of prayers that you can do, which is,
there's even one in Latin.
Yes, I did not read that one. I must say,
I read the first two words.
My Latin's not really up to scratch.
No, I want to read out something from the New Zealand Herald that was on the internet at 6:10 a.m. this morning, and it said the launch of an iPhone app that guides Catholics through confession has prompted a furious response from gay rights groups who accuse it of promoting anti-gay spiritual abuse. The app, which says that it allows a personalised examination of conscience for each user, has already won the backing of senior members of the Catholic Church. Among the questions users are asked is, have I been guilty of any homosexual activity? Wayne Besson, Executive Director of Truth Wins Out, a group that campaigns on behalf of lesbian, gay, bisexual and transgendered people, accused the app of helping to create neurotic individuals who are ashamed of who they are. Now, I've got to confess that I could not find that question.
Yeah, I went looking for it as well and I couldn't see it there.
So I'm not sure where they found it. I think this whole emphasis, and as a minister, where she talked about this at Cafe Church on Friday night, about the concept of sin and how it affects how we see God. And we shared our stories of our upbringings in different denominations and what they said about sin. And it was amazing hearing people's stories. You know, some denominations talk about this big book they have up and they write everything down you do. And you know, if you get to the gates and you haven't confessed, or then you won't get in, and
I'm
all this stuff.
Just imagining the size of my book.
Goodness. Well, exactly. I thought God might have something more interesting to do, but I wonder if the emphasis on sin actually is quite negative in the way that you see God, and that you see that God actually loves us for who we are. And certainly at the church I go to, that's what we try and tell people, is God loves you as you are, gay, lesbian, transgendered, bisexual. God loves you. And yet something like this, the emphasis is so much on all things we do wrong.
Yeah, I felt that it was very negative. And I must say, after I filled out the survey the first time when I was trying out the app, I did feel a little bit down, and I did feel like, oh, maybe I'm not, maybe I've got a lot of work to do. And then my partner, he was like, well, no, you don't have to worry. You're actually, like, fine. You're a nice person. You know, you can rest easy. And I was like, because I think I let it get to me.
Yeah, and I'm not surprised. I think it is like that, and I think that sometimes there's too much emphasis on the negatives. You know, and let's look at the positive, like your partner said.
Mm.
I mean, we all muck up at times. We all do things that hurt other people that we wish we hadn't done. Okay, so we're not perfect. You know, it's more important, surely, to apologise to that person and get on with life. Because I don't believe that God sits up there with a big book and worries about every little thing we do wrong.
I'm pretty sure that's a lot of worrying if you did that.
If she did it.
Yes, he or she.
I think she's got better things to do.
You're on the Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9. We've got a bit of a track coming up. It's from Switchfoot. It's called On Fire.
Hi, my name is Josh Thomas, and you're listening to Joy 949, which is it's for gay people.
And this is Spirit Lounge, and this is Joy the Priest.
And Andrew the Prof. Now, we're talking earlier, we shared some stories about Valentine's Day in the workplace and how we show our love for our workers, or our co-workers, who we spend let's face it, a good majority of our lives with.
That's very true.
This is true. I was very lucky and received some beautiful Valentine's Day wishes today. And we implemented hopefully the first of many new traditions at our workplace, which is doing like a Kris Kringle of Valentine's warm fuzzies. And we thought that we would do for the Spirit Spa tonight, we would look at some spiritual ways that we could celebrate Valentine's Day.
That's very interesting. So you've got some ways that you know of? And will I need a box of tissues or a bucket?
hopefully you will need neither, because we have
right.
Neither of those in the studio. So the first thing to do, or one option, is to establish a spiritual tradition or routine. So start a routine on Valentine's Day, and each Valentine's Day it will mark a year that you've been doing that routine together with your partner.
Okay.
It's an interesting idea.
Is it a tradition to ignore it?
No. Okay. No, so the tradition might be something like read a book together, perhaps. Something like that. Another one is make a donation to your favourite charity or spiritual organisation, and particularly try and decide who you're going to do that for, as a couple.
Yep.
I really like this one. Have a dinner with other spiritual friends and make sure, invite people who are couples and people who are single and people from all walks of life, and just share the evening with those people. And it's kind of sharing more that sort of love for everybody.
That's quite nice, isn't it?
Mm, I think that's
because I often worry about, you know, people who are single who would love to be in a relationship on Valentine's Day, because it's everywhere, and that would be nice.
Yep. And another tip here, this is the last of many tips, focus on not buying a Valentine's Day gift.
Oh, I succeeded.
So
yes.
Focus on not buying, but doing things. So doing something, showing love through your daily actions. So different ways to say I love you than what you normally do.
Oh, I don't, you know, we've actually got to see
how
partner.
Are you still passing on this one? Are you still passing? With flying rainbow flag colours?
No, not really.
This is the panellist here, and Peter thinks that Joy should have got up and made breakfast for her partner this morning. That would have been an act of love.
I make my partner a cup of coffee every morning. Is that not an act of love every morning?
That is an act of love. Did you make it any differently to mark the event of Valentine's Day?
No, I did not even think that it was Valentine's Day. It is not a day that is really in my calendar.
Oh, my. Well, so there's a few ideas for different traditions and different ways to celebrate.
Okay, look, it's Valentine's Day, and our next track is the track that my partner and I walked down the aisle to 10 years ago in April at our Holy Union. And it's Shania Twain with From This Moment. So this is for you, my darling. Happy Valentine's Day.
You're on the Spirit Lounge with Joy and Andrew on Joy 94.9. We're kind of talking all things spiritual, and during this show we have spoken to Brian Finch. He's from Habitat for Humanity, and he was telling us all about kind of their efforts to help people rebuild communities after the bushfires.
Yeah, it's quite amazing, isn't it?
Oh, they're doing such amazing work. They've got this project, A Brush with Kindness, and they're basically, you go up and you kind of like go to one of the areas that's been affected by a bushfire, and they've got a partner family that they're helping to build a new home for, and you kind of like help out with whatever you can. So like if you're good at painting walls, go and paint some walls. If you're good at ripping out weeds, then rip out weeds all day. It's fantastic. And their next day that's coming up is actually this Saturday, and I'm going to be there. So if you want to get along, and you can get some more information at just Google Habitat for Humanity, and they'll be pretty much hit number one on the list. And they've got the Brush with Kindness project. So
do you know where you're going?
I believe it's around Flowerdale somewhere. Okay. I don't have the exact address, though. Yeah, so it's one of those areas that was quite severely.
So you good with a paintbrush or a hammer or pulling out weeds?
I'm going to be pulling out weeds, I think. and I just wanted to quickly touch on, at the weekend, I went up to Uniting Care Cutting Edge, which is in Shepparton.
Yep.
And we did like a bit of a sexual health awareness thing there, and Joy obviously was broadcasting on site from the day. So that was awesome, and I just wanted to share that that was something good that I saw.
Yeah, I listened to a bit of that, and it sounded fabulous. It sounds like you had a good turnout too.
Yeah, it was a fantastic turnout. So we had lots of people there, and I'm sure that we'll catch up with the guys from Uniting.
I think that signal from Peter, the panellist, says that we're about to be cut off. So
that whole neck cutting signal.
Thanks for joining us on Valentine's Day, and we look forward to catching up with you next week. So from Joy and from Andrew, it is good night.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.